another story, which, well, it's POL again, which fascinates me, is the Rick story. The scientific genius. Who is maybe a bit more of the USPI type. Because that's how they often are, right? But we don't need to make a caricature of an USPI person, just a little bit, because I don't know how to do that anyway. Just a little bit, based on those people I know, which I at least think could be USPI types. Well, I mean, he starts to find problems with mainstream science back there in the 60s. We're talking problems with Darwin's theory. And he, of course, studies the quantum physicists. Gets into the consciousness topic issue. And he realizes then that the image of science that he has been served in school and university and so on is just one image created by some people and then by their influence rubber stamped as the official truth. So he becomes a bit of a rebel in a sense. But at the same time, because he is a genius, he is swept up in that career, up far up there, real up to the top of the government secret operations and all that, as a computer expert. Mathematician, so he sees, when you look out through his eyes in this story, it's like you're looking from the top of the world at the world. Because since he is so smart and he has access to even highest security level clearance levels, whatever you call it, then he has the view and he has the power of vision to actually understand what it is that he sees. And that's what we are. Oops, this humble author is supposed to assist in describing us. But it's an interesting story. It's an interesting character. He could be a little bit what's his name? Forrest Gump-ish. But not in the kind of slightly imbecile way that you find in Forrest Gump, but more of the innocent as be a very, very intelligent person. Because he is a little less, but that means he's an outsider, right, still. But he's happens to be inside everything, to be at the center of action. While his intellectual, mentally, I mean, from inside himself, is an outsider. He's inside looking out. Could even call him Gene and make him into Gene Genie, but well, why not? If it suits our purpose to tie the story together like that, why not? Why not? And it could be our genius there who, I don't know actually. It's not the same type. Well, of course, he's just a character in a book, so characters in books are often parts of the character of the author. Anyway, that's another thing, not so important. Oh no, by the way, I could really go down the rabbit hole with this story where the ISKCON, this Swami who is just hating women. I mean, there's that type too, right? They have maybe bad experiences, or they are actually homosexual, latent or openly. Some are, they have a distaste for women, or fear of women, or hate of women. So then they seek their love and companionship and sex and all that in men instead. I cannot understand how. That could happen, and how you can find that in, of course, in the sannyasa community. But also, as one teacher described, how these boys in the Gurukul there in Mayapur, how they were abusing each other. Sometimes together, just sexually. Satisfying or gratifying each other. I think I maybe spoke something about this before, but I mean, it depends on how tough we want to get here. But I think this, as I said, this genre that I am creating, if it doesn't exist yet, is some kind of hyper-realism or spiritual realism or whatever fine word we can find. Total realism. What should we call it? It's interesting. Pararealism. It always sounds like there's something above, far up there, outside of, I don't know where we are. Anyway, since we're going for that, then we have to show the complete picture. The dark side and the bright side. And the thing is then that our peel, before he comes to that spiritual movement, he starts as an innocent child and he's looking for love and all that. And then he gets a bit disappointed and cynical and all of that. And he's of course selfish too, an arrogant prick, and all that starts to develop more and more. And we just show as it is, or was, and then how he goes down a bit darker there in the city life, big city life, and. then maybe and then there are some steps when he's just leaving that. He could have chosen that lady who then went into heroin, and he could have ended up there too, right? So there were all these trials and tribulations, and when he made the right choices, and after that point, well, that was kind of whatever. I mean, he maybe since he was 20 there or something, he starts to climb upwards slowly but steadily, more or less. From that dark big city life, and then he ends up in that countryside's temple at the end of that book. So that's the kind of hero's journey in that book. And then in the next one, The Happies, then he's going through another hero's journey in that spiritual moment, because the same thing happens. It's like taking birth again. In the beginning, he's completely innocent like that, and he optimistic and all that. And then he starts to see things both in himself and around him that makes him disappointed and this and that. Or this time it's more on him, actually, that he becomes dark. And it's not just him, it's a whole gang there. All those seemingly becoming holy and bright and all of that, so it's a little weird. And he can't see that, but we can see how he's getting pulled into that. And they, if possible, nice if we can show it very psychologically how that appears in the leaders and in the brahmacharis and in all these different individuals who are, after all, just experimenting, trying to find some social structure and life structure which they didn't really get from the society they came from. The family and the background, all that they were, and I guess that's one of the reasons that Krishna consciousness exploded there in the late 60s and early 70s, that many young people were disappointed with their parents' generation and all of that, right? Societies, they had no faith anymore, and some became punks and some became Hare Krishnas. So, that could be interesting. But he still has that selfishness there. You don't get rid of that just like that. And he has his hardened heart there because of his disappointment, and he hasn't found love yet, and he gave up and he thought there is no love in this world, and now it's love of God only that is real, and the others, who cares? So it becomes a bit like that, and then we can bring in this kind of conflict there between the impersonalism and personalism, and deal that thing out if possible. It's a good way we can address that. And then finally, where does the happiness end? It could be long. I mean, because I'm a bit confused there with maybe it should end when he's coming back and he's just walking that street and there's nothing. He's just himself now, on his own, as if dropping down from another planet into this old town, hometown, basically. Yeah, that's where the happy should end. And before that, he goes through hell. Yes, he does. Purgatory. Well, maybe that's hell. And now he's in purgatory and he is going back to Stockholm. Purgatory will be kind of long, right? Oh. So, anyway, we find that well, the hell kind of. No, he hasn't entered purgatory yet. He came out of hell. When was that? '98 or something. Well, maybe that's when he went to hell. Oh. The spring of 99 then. Maybe we don't tell that story in that book about the happies. I don't know. Anyway, then the next book will be basically purgatory, I guess. Now he gets his lessons. But we shouldn't only let the book happen in the Krishna temple, the whole series. So we got the Rick, big perspective, and we have the little guy there, with a few people there. But then we have a world, and we have the youth movement, and we have the that can be covered from Rick perspective or Gene. Anyway, I don't think his name is Gene. But what about that little town? What happened to it? His hometown. I already outlined a bit of that, what was it? Yeah, this singularity approached and the AI intelligence would take over, and those people who were, because this is the lab that Rick was working on all along. So we followed that development there. AI leader. And maybe how Rick became one of those who secretly worked against all of that. Maintaining a kind of double identity. On one hand, working in the thick of it, in the midst of the work to develop that AI. And on the other hand, he was there in some kind of underground group, which could be the Awares. But he was not much of a fighter on the barricades, but more of the nerdy type. So maybe he is the one then that develops that virus, or rather whatever it should be called, something nice. Wildfire or whatever. The love virus that will reprogram the AI using the entire philosophy of Vaishnava Siddhanta or something like that, the Chinese, or he would just it would then look around in different wisdoms like that, China, India, and then it would find that there are two. There is impersonalism and personalism, and then there is the Voidism. And they are discussing that, maybe him and his colleagues too. should any of that be? You know, which one should be programmed into the AI? Should the AI use as the basic value system? It's a relevant question, right? Should it use the positivist, materialist, philosophical stance, or the idealist, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, or materialist? And of course, most in those discussion groups, they were themselves materialist scientists, so that won by vote. And someone suggested, maybe he suggested, that, well, if we're really creating an AI, a real AI, that AI should, of course, be left to itself, studying all this knowledge, the gathered collective knowledge of human history, and make up its own mind and conviction, what belief to have, religious or not, and this and that. And so that can get interesting. And someone may say, well, that may open it up a bit to arbitrary outcome, right? And then maybe one, someone even brings up that you could imagine someone making a virus or something to try and to make this one a Muslim or a Christian or whatever, to hack the AI. And then someone say, well, you know, when it comes to that point, the AI is far more intelligent than humans anyway, so it would be difficult to manipulate it. But in any case, what they decide then is to implement a very, very strong security system, and the one best suited for that is our RIC. And he has highest clearance and all of that anyway, so if they can't trust him, who can they trust? So he does, and it's very good, but he leaves a backdoor that only he can get in through. So then when he is entering that, or becoming part of that group, because, you know, he can see something here is not right. He has learned that we are not robots and so on, and it would be ridiculous to just put everything in the hands of AI, thinking that we are only just AI basically, and we make a better one now, and that everything will be solved. So he decides to go to them, and they are discussing what to do. They have all their, I don't know what, ways of working. But they are more like, not biohackers in the biological sense, but social hackers, you could say. Cultural hackers. Just trying to make people one by one wake up. But then when this singularity point appears, and it really starts to get, you know, pointed, and I mean, singularity, that's something, right? then it gets critical. So then he develops that love virus, or whatever you want to call it. Could be called prema or something. And or bhakti. I don't know, I think it's too corny, but maybe they managed to save the day for now. But then they fail ultimately, of course, as usually happens with these things. And I don't know if Rick will be exposed to something, but maybe he gets too risky and he tunes out of it and disappears. I don't know. Maybe he can continue. So there we can have a action movie if we want, even. You know, they're chasing these and they're trying to hide, and it's a whole hacker war maybe, and all kinds of things. Meanwhile, things are going on in the other world. I don't know what. Different dimensions. Or in that microcosm of our PO. And our lady, whatever she will be called. I think we must have a lady, otherwise it doesn't, I mean, it's boring. And they're friends in that funny movement. And I don't know if, you know, people hacking some super AI to believe in God and love and all that goes together with a Swami sitting in his room and having sex with a disciple.